Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
If you can see that well, that picture on the screen is a prairie fire. And so I think this one takes place in Illinois. That's where the picture happened to be taken. But we have some prairie areas here in Iowa as well, and they are often intentionally set on fire because that is part of how the prairie works, because this fire looks really dramatic and big and scary, and it's intense, and you don't want to be right in the way of it, that's for sure. But it is also a really good thing for all of that grass that is right there in front of it about to be burned up. Now, why is that great news? It is great news because that brown grass that you can see right there actually needs to go away so that the new green grass can grow underneath it. And burning that grass off is a way that this grass right here is actually adapted to do really well on the prairie. And so it cleans up all the extra old grass, and it burns off invasive plant species that don't belong on the prairie to begin with. And these grasses, and there are flowers and all kinds of stuff there that just hasn't sprouted yet because it's got deep, deep roots down in the soil. And from those roots, the new life is going to come back up. And those roots also store tons and tons and tons of carbon down underneath the soil, and they give Iowa this really famous black dirt that we used to have. So this fire right here is actually really good news. Now, Jesus is going to tell us a story today that is not actually about a fire. He's going to tell a story about a wedding. But he is telling some stories that we just kind of drop in the middle of, and he's telling stories about the end of everything we thought we knew. All the ways that the world worked. Jesus tells us that that's all ending somehow, but the way that it ends is actually going to show us something about not only who we have been and how our world has worked, but it's also going to show us something about who God is, and those things that end are actually making way for something new and transformed to happen. And so that is what we're about to hear about. And so I'm thinking this morning about the way some of that change happens in our world today. Let's listen to this great story.
Scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 24, verses 45 to 51. Chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, on page 34 of the New Testament in your pew Bible. Please follow along as I read. Who then is the faithful and wise slave whom the master has put in charge of his household to give the other slaves their allowance of food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom the master will find at work when he arrives. Truly, I tell you, he will put that one in charge of all his possessions. But if that wicked slave says to himself, my master is delayed, and he begins to beat his fellow slaves and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour that he does not know. He will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, no. There will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And when they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The word of the Lord.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? It's this meditation on the trembling awe we feel at the depth of Jesus' suffering at the hands of worldly power. And as the music progressed, you heard it grow into a song of defiance, even a song of triumph. And we will sing another song of triumph about that crucifixion. At the end of this sermon, we'll sing, "In the cross of Christ, I glory." There are two halves to this paradox that we recognize around the cross. The cross is a triumph somehow, and the cross is so obviously a defeat. We recognize that the path to triumph goes through defeat. The path to resurrection goes through death. And we know that that death is coming as we move through this season of Lent, as we listen to Jesus tell us parable after parable. It's now maybe a couple of nights before Jesus will be arrested and put on trial and killed. And there is urgency in what Jesus is saying right now. Isn't there urgency in these stories that Bob read for us? This urgency about how we are to live in between Jesus' death and resurrection and this fulfillment of history that is coming out there in the future. And we still live in that world, right here today, between the death and the resurrection of Jesus and the fulfillment of the future that Jesus is talking about. The early church expected Jesus to come back visibly and very soon to finish the work that he had begun among us, to set the whole world right once and for all. But Jesus tells us these stories that hint to us that he's going to be a little longer in coming than we originally expected. And yet, we have to live with this sense of urgency. We have to be ready for the future that Jesus has been promising to us. And so he tells us these stories about the end of time, the fulfillment of everything, the transformation of everything, coming at some point that we can't quite be ready for. Now, I don't usually think in particularly concrete terms about this end of time. There are some who do, and they are faithful as well. But I do think that that promise of a final redemption, that promise that everything will at some point be set right, that promise is what gives direction to our lives in the world. And every story about this final unveiling, this judgment, about Jesus' return, every one of those stories points to questions about how we live right here and right now. How are we living in this meantime? What would Jesus find us doing if that end of the world happened right now today? Would he see that we are being faithful to what we have been called to be and to do? And as we live in this world today, another way of asking that question is, what kind of future are we getting ready for? So Jesus tells us these two different, very different stories about people who miss the hour of Jesus' return. This servant who had been put in charge of providing for all of the other servants, who decided that his master was really just never coming back. And these bridesmaids who didn't expect that there would be any delay whatsoever before the fulfillment of what they were waiting for. And in both of these scenes, the ones who are foolish are the ones who organize the whole world around themselves, not around the coming bridegroom or the returning master. That is, they organized their whole world around themselves and not around Jesus, who is promising to return with us. And so these bridesmaids, we don't know exactly what the foolish bridesmaids were doing, but it was not what they were meant to be doing during this time, that they weren't expecting to go on quite as long as it did, and they were surprised and shocked when the groom finally arrived. Or this wicked servant who saw that his master was delayed and so exploited that delay for his own gain. But Jesus tells us wisdom and faithfulness. Wisdom and faithfulness is about living even in this meantime, however long this meantime might be, living as Jesus taught. And there's a particular way that we live as Jesus taught, which is to provide for the well-being of the community. That servant who was left in charge of everything got very specific, clear instructions to provide for others at the proper time. And don't most of Jesus' instructions come down to that? Don't most of Jesus' instructions come down to providing for our community at the proper time? So we can take that as direction for the leaders among us, that there is no mystery what it is we are supposed to be about here. And that's maybe a special instruction for those who are about to be elected to leadership roles within this congregation in just a few minutes here, that Jesus is explicitly talking about how we care for each other in this community that Jesus is calling into being here. But we can also take that as a charge to any of us who count ourselves as Christian and have agency in the communities around us, and that's a lot of us, isn't it? That everything God gives us, everything that God equips and enables and empowers us with, is in order to serve our neighbors as they need us. And so Jesus tells this story that has some really harsh language in it. He uses really harsh language about weeping and gnashing of teeth, and we'd like to hold that at arm's length as far as we can. But Jesus uses that really harsh language in very specific contexts when he is talking about people who have power and means and identify themselves as Jesus' followers, but don't use their power and their means for the service of their neighbors. That's what Jesus uses that judgment language for. Now, incidentally, here's what I think happened with those foolish bridesmaids, because this is a story that has kind of taken on a life of its own. I think that extra oil that those foolish bridesmaids failed to bring, I think the way that they would have brought that extra oil would have been by building some community during that time that they were waiting. I think that community is one of the things that faithfulness comes down to as Jesus speaks to us again and again through the Gospel of Matthew. And the oil here is clearly a metaphor. I don't always say that to y'all. The oil here is clearly a metaphor. The wise bridesmaids get away with not sharing what they have with somebody who needs it. But Jesus has consistently, every time he has a chance, he has pointed to giving away whatever it is we can share. And that comes up every time that whatever we're talking about is something you can actually give away. Which means this oil must be something that you can't actually give to somebody else. It must be something that nobody else can do for you. And see, nobody else can participate in God's community for you on your behalf. No one else can participate in God's community on your behalf. You have to accept that invitation on your own. You have to make that commitment for yourself. As my colleague Amy Robertson, another Bible scholar, says, we hang on to our metaphorical oil by giving away our literal oil. By sharing what we actually have, we accumulate this oil that keeps us alert and ready for whenever it is we are going to encounter the risen and returning Christ. And that's what Jesus is doing with this big, dramatic, apocalyptic language that we have been reading today and that we'll actually hear some more of in the next couple of weeks. He is calling our attention to the communities that we actually live in, to the communities that we are building in the meantime, to the way that we live in this world right now. And he invites us to ask ourselves, how are we right now practicing faithfulness to who it is Jesus has called us to be, to what it is Jesus has called us to do? How do we live in the midst of huge, dramatic changes in our lives and in the world around us? Those dramatic changes around us, they actually have a tendency to reveal the priorities that were always there under the surface in our communities. Just like a prairie fire activates the seeds and the roots that were already there in the soil, just waiting for that moment. And we know, as we've been looking during this season of Lent at life in Iowa today, we know that many communities and institutions in Iowa today are coming to the end of a life cycle. It's not just that generations are turning over, although that is very much true as well, but whole communities are turning over and transforming, and at the same time, new communities are coming into being all around us. And we don't always know what's coming next. It's not always clear what's coming next. Sometimes all we see is the approaching smoke, and we don't quite know what's going to happen at the end of that transformation. But we do know this. We do know that the end of the world will go a whole lot better for the communities that are practiced and disciplined about caring for each other. Whatever is coming, it will go a whole lot better for those communities that are already in the habit of caring for one another. And so, I just have to stop there and wonder. I just have to stop there and wonder what it is God is inviting us to let go of and to take up. What God is inviting us to let go of so that it can be transformed. What God is inviting us to take up so that it can grow and sprout and put down new roots. Where are we invited to be transformed? Here in this congregation, here in the community around us, here in the individual lives and relationships that we share, in order that we can share life with God's future here in this world. So may we be found faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.